Welcome to the University of Michigan Press podcast, featuring interviews with University of Michigan Press authors. Don't like the weather in Michigan? Wait 10 minutes. It's an old joke, but one that shows how temperamental the weather in the Great Lakes State can be, and how much the residents enjoy talking about it. Paul Gross, a popular Detroit television meteorologist, shows readers exactly how extreme the weather in Michigan can be. From heat waves to bitter snows, ice storms to tornadoes, floods to high winds. He delves into the mysteries of extreme weather, explaining how the state's harshest extremes and biggest storms come to be, helping readers to understand and truly appreciate what greets them when they step outside each day. Weather in Michigan is memorable. Nearly everyone can remember when an ice storm knocked out power for a week, when lightning hit a tree nearby, a snowstorm interrupted big plans, or record high temperatures allowed people to play golf in January. This is an opportunity to understand how those things are possible. Here to talk with us about his new book, Extreme Michigan Weather, is Paul Gross. Gross is a certified consulting meteorologist who works as a broadcast meteorologist for WDIV-TV, Detroit, Michigan. Welcome, Paul.
Well, it's great to be here. How are you?
Good, thank you. So why are Michiganians so obsessed with the weather?
We are really obsessed with the weather, and we are because Michigan gets virtually every kind of weather, from ice storms, tornadoes, severe cold, extreme heat, snowstorms, floods. The only thing we don't get are hurricanes, and even the remnants of hurricanes sometimes hit Michigan. So there's an old saying that variety is the spice of life. Well, the incredible variety of weather that we get here is what makes Michiganians just so obsessed with it.
Okay, so what is the most common question viewers ask you?
Well, the most common question I'm asked is global warming real?
So how do you answer that?
Well, I'm a nationally recognized expert at communicating the science of global warming, so I'm kind of in tune to the science. And without question, the single biggest misconception by the public is that they think that there's a big disagreement among scientists on the issue. But the truth is that most of the climate scientists worldwide are in strong agreement that our planet is warming, and it's warming at a very unusual rate, and they agree that humans are the proximate cause of that warming. Now, most of those who express strong skeptical opinions about global warming are either non-scientists, or they're people that attack the science because the potential policy recommendations go against their political philosophies, or they're just people being paid by organizations that represent businesses who have a financial vested interest in the policy recommendations. So I devoted an entire chapter in the book about the truth of global warming, just the science. And one scientist, in fact, who proofread it, said it was one of the best explanations of the subject he's ever seen. The warming is real, and it's been proven to be real. And it's going to have real consequences, some of which, by the way, are already happening, and I'll describe that in the book.
So let's talk about your book, Extreme Michigan Weather. Why did it take 3 years to write?
Writing was the easy part. The tough part was researching the record highs, the record lows, the record rain, and the record snow for each day of the year for 22 different cities around the state. And that's going to allow people to see just how extreme the weather can be near where they live here in our great state. Now, the thing that took so long is these statistics were not available in an Excel spreadsheet format that I could just import into my computer. I had to manually type them into my manuscript, and I'm going to save you from doing the math. We don't need to do the math. This involved hand typing over 30,000 individual statistics. And in doing that, though, there was a benefit. It made me examine the database closer, and I discovered that some of the statistics were wrong. And let me give you one example. The records indicated that several days of snow occurred in Harbor Beach in June. Yeah, that's right, June. And that was obviously not correct. So I contacted the National Weather Service and also the National Climatic Data Center, and we researched this, and we corrected the errors, and now the database correctly shows that snow has never fallen in Harbor Beach in June. So we have significantly improved the Daily Extremes database for the state of Michigan.
What weather event in our state's history do you consider to be the one that had the most widespread impact?
Well, there certainly have been a number of devastating weather events in our state's history, but the one that had, to me, the most widespread impact is, without question, the heat wave of 1936, and that's because it affected the entire state. Temperatures of 100 degrees or above surged all the way upstate, even into the Upper Peninsula. Yeah, and obviously the worst heat was here in the south, where we are in the Detroit area, and Detroit had seven consecutive days with highs above 100 degrees. We've never come close to that since. And remember that we didn't have air conditioning in those days. So when we're talking about highs in the hundreds and overnight lows probably in the 70s, you're talking about very, very hot weather, no relief at night. And without air conditioning, you can imagine the death toll was tremendous and the entire state suffered. So that heat wave of 1936 is what I consider to be the most significant weather event in terms of its impact on the entire state.
So what do you recall as the most dramatic weather event you've personally covered?
Well, my 27-year career at WDIV Channel 4 in Detroit has put me out in a lot of different kinds of weather. And without question, to me personally, in terms of what I have personally experienced, the first 2 weeks of 1999 was one of the harshest two-week stretches of winter weather that we've ever experienced here. And I was out in it virtually every day reporting out in that really extreme weather. We've certainly had more severe outbreaks of snow, wind, and cold in our state's history. But this one lasted for 2 weeks, and there was a lot of below zero weather in those 2 weeks, a lot of snow, a lot of wind. It was a very extreme 2 weeks of winter weather. And again, I was reporting outside for my TV station in most of that weather, and I'll never forget it. And one thing that really stands out in my mind was when a viewer emailed me that some of the advice I gave on our morning newscast one morning actually saved her life. She directly attributes her life being saved to what I told her on the air that morning, and that's something that will stay with me for the rest of my career.
So we always hear about tornadoes down in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, but do we really need to be that concerned about tornadoes here in Michigan?
Well, absolutely, and there's no denying that they get many more tornadoes down there. I mean, just the quantity is much greater, but you have to keep in mind that when you look deep into the statistics, there's a much higher percentage of the potential for tornadoes up here to be strong or violent. And keep in mind, the strong and violent tornadoes are the ones that do the most damage and kill the most people. Now, it's been so long that a lot of people don't actually remember this, but the ninth deadliest tornado in American history occurred right here in Michigan on June 8th, 1953. Now, that twister struck the Flint suburb of Beecher, and it is still the last single tornado in America to kill over 100 people, and it happened right here in Michigan. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when another tornado like that's going to hit our state. And this time, we do have one advantage in that our Doppler radars now let us see the wind inside of these storms. So we, with the strong and violent tornadoes, we see that rotation before they touch down. So with those types of tornadoes, we can sometimes give the first people that would get the tornado 10 to 15 minutes of notice before it even touches down. And that's a remarkable improvement over what those poor folks had back in 1953.
I want to understand you're an amateur historian, so you've researched a lot of historical Michigan weather events. Which one do you find the most fascinating?
Well, the most fascinating one, I would have to say, is going to be the Great Lakes Storm of 1913, which is also called the White Hurricane by some. And this is one of those gales of November. We have these tremendous winter storms that develop in early November. We talk about these in the book and why the Great Lakes make us so predisposed to those, especially in those first 2 weeks of November. But this particular storm generated, now I want you to think about this, hurricane force wind over Lake Huron for 12 straight hours. Not just wind gusts, but continuously blowing hurricane force winds over Lake Huron for 12 straight hours. That storm sank 8 freighters. Think about these massive freighters that we see on the Great Lakes and what it would take to sink a freighter. 8 of them went down. I mean, the ones that were lucky got pushed ashore, ran aground. Those were the lucky ones because the crews didn't drown. But this storm killed over 200 of those seamen, and it's still one of the worst maritime disasters in American history, and it happened right here in Michigan. Now, meteorologist Mal Siller is a coworker of mine, the one who hired me, actually, at Channel 4 back many years ago. He and I actually researched the meteorological history of that storm, and I have to tell you, as an amateur historian, it was fascinating. Tremendously interesting to hand plot weather maps from copies of the original 1913 November surface weather observations. I literally hand plotted and hand analyzed weather maps and actually showed the actual history of that storm. And it was actually two storms. You had one of those Alberta Clippers that came across the Great Lakes. And once that storm passed, a lot of the seamen thought that you could then take your freighters out because the storm was passed and things were going to calm down. But a second storm going up the East Coast became a bomb. It exploded over Washington, D.C. It curled all the way back to Erie, Pennsylvania, and that storm created all the wind over the Great Lakes. So all of those ships left port, were out on the open waters, thinking that things were clearing behind the first storm, and then it was a second storm that came up, much worse than the first storm, that caught them unprepared. Completely no warning. They just left port with no anticipation whatsoever that this could possibly happen.
What do you hope readers will take away from your book?
Well, there are a lot of things, but I guess the thing I most want people to appreciate is just all of the weather that we get here in Michigan and to understand why it happens, and also to respect us meteorologists who have to forecast that weather. I mean, you have to understand that we do get a lot of different kinds of weather here, and a lot of very extreme weather, and this is not the typical book. I'm not spending time in the book telling you what a thermometer is. I mean, we get a lot of weather here, and I want to explain why it happens, and I want to teach people and give people a better appreciation for why that happens. I mean, nowadays, we meteorologists, people intuitively expect us to be right. We get the weather right most of the time. Rarely does a forecast ever completely go awry. I mean, again, people just intuitively expect us to be right. And that's why nobody really says anything when we forecast a big storm correctly. I mean, they just, okay, well, that's what you're supposed to do. And you would be just stunned at the phone calls and the emails I get. In that rare occasion we get a forecast wrong, people, I mean, they use profanity. I mean, you have to have very thick skin to be a meteorologist for those rare occasions when you get the weather wrong, and people just get so upset. Excuse me. So I'm confident that if people understand more about how and why this weather happens and what we have to do to forecast the weather, and by the way, I spend a great deal of time explaining how we forecast the weather, and I think if people understand that, they'll have a much greater appreciation for the weather we get in the state and what we have to do to forecast it.
Okay, and I understand that you are extra proud about one other aspect of the book.
Absolutely, and this is something that I am really, I just have a warm glow as I walk around and get to tell people this. This is the first ever comprehensive book about Michigan weather. It's about our weather, our state's weather. It's our book. But even above and beyond that, what I am most proud of is that, you know, we're in a very tough economic time right now. And what I'm proud of is the fact that, you know, my publisher here, you guys here at the University of Michigan Press, you're an in-state local business. It's going to be printed. The book will be manufactured at a printer here in Michigan. This is our book, and this book is going to be completely about Michigan jobs, not in terms of the content, but it represents Michigan in terms of its content, but it also is a book that helped keep jobs here in the state, and that is something, this is my state. I was born and raised here. I've lived here my whole life, and the fact that I could keep everything associated with this book here in Michigan in terms of the production of that book, I am very excited about that, and that's something that really meant a great deal to me.
Well, on behalf of the University of Michigan Press, we're very pleased and honored to have this book.
Well, thanks very much. It's been a long time coming. It's been a good 3 years of research, and it's very exciting. I've always wanted to do this. I'm kind of a natural teacher. I mean, people that watch me on TV, they know I'm always explaining the weather, and this is finally something that gives me the forum to really take the time to really explain the detail and explain the weather like I would like to on TV, but don't have time to do. I mean, they give you 2.5 minutes to do the weather on TV, and you don't have time to explain too many things, but I explain some things. But with this book, people can sit down. It's a quick, easy read, and it's just something that it just gives me the ability to really kind of uncover some of the mysteries of the weather we get in this state. And I think people are going to find some of the explanations pretty interesting.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us, Paul.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
We have been speaking with Paul Gross, author of Extreme Michigan Weather, The Wild World of the Great Lakes State. To learn more about our books, visit us on the web at press.umich.edu. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Michigan Press, all rights reserved.